Hey, bitch! It's time for the book club.
Warning, spoilers ahead.
Hello and welcome to another Campfire Gaming Podcast. My name is Matt. I will be your host tonight. We're excited to have you, dear listener, because I guess as normal now, it's not like super special anymore, like once a month, because this is our episodes for the month. It's a book club episode, so we're excited to talk about the game, August game, Tunic. So joining me tonight is the one, the only, Rich. Rich, how are we doing?
Oh, I'm doing just great, man. How you doing?
Ready to talk.
Are we ready to talk about Tunic?
Yeah, are we ready to talk about Tunic? It was a game.
Oh, I'm ready to talk about Tunic.
It was a game I was excited to get into, and well, you'll get the rest here in the episode. But before we kick it off too much here, just a reminder, you can check us out at campfiregamingpodcast.com, where we have links to all our socials and Discord. Feel free to join and come say hi. We'd love to chat with you. But before we get too far into this, as always, spoilers. We will be talking about everything and anything we want to. So if you haven't played this game and you want to and you want nothing spoiled, go ahead, hit pause and come back after you've played and beaten the game Tunic. Otherwise, you've been warned. Yeah, we'll be spoiling. Well, I guess whatever.
We'll be spoiling pretty much the whole game, probably.
Yeah, I was going to say well, it'll be something we'll talk about. I was going to say we there's what story was there to spoil if we were going to talk story, but anyway,
yeah, there's a little bit there, yeah.
But last tidbit before we kick it off here, so Tunic was August game. Our September game will be Psychonauts 2.
Yes.
So be sure between now and the end of September to go check out our book club game last year. I believe it was August game last year. We did the original Psychonauts. And also be sure to pick up a copy of Psychonauts 2, or it's free on Game Pass. Go ahead and play along with us this month and swing by Twitter or Discord or wherever and let us know your feelings or questions or whatever about the game. So play along with us, basically, is I guess what I'm trying to say. So. But I guess without further ado,
let's talk
dive
Tunic.
Into Tunic. Yeah.
Hell yeah, let's do this.
All right. So,
all right. So I'll say this first off. This was a bad game to put off until the last minute to play. I'll just say that. It took me a lot longer than I was originally thinking it was going to take.
Yeah, I was kind of playing through and going, he likes to do that whole like procrastinate till last minute. I hope he gets this done. Not that we have like a timetable anymore, like we need to get this done, but you know, we aim for the end of the month and
right.
But I didn't want to spoil anything for you. But yeah, no, I ran into a little bit of a, as we were talking before the show, is that we've both had a very busy month. So I know Friday I had to make a decision that we'll get to and I'm sure will make fun of me, but anyways, yeah,
I bet I know what it is already.
You probably do because I made some of my feelings felt on the Discord. So
yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I mean, so like to get into the, I don't know, some of the descriptors of Tunic, it is an isometric action adventure game.
Yep.
Developed by one person. What was his name? It was Andrew
Schuldice?
Schuldice? Yeah.
Schuldice? There you go.
Yeah. And the game was released March of this year. So it's fairly new. Mm-hmm. This was one that I know that we got, or at least I got kind of excited for when we saw it. I think it was like Summer Game Fest last year. We had a good trailer about this game.
We've had a few good trailers for it that I was excited for it because...
Right,
because I was in a Zelda-like game, sure.
Right, yeah, and that's kind of what I was originally sold on was that it was, oh, like this looks like a very nice, comfy homage to Zelda games.
Yeah,
you know, like that sort of, you know, find the thing, like go around the map, find the different key pieces, the key items for things, and you know, assemble them all at the very end, and then at the very end you have a big boss battle. Cool, awesome. Mm-hmm. That's not what the game is, or at least that's not all that the game is. There is a little, like, it is a little bit of Zelda with a little bit, probably a bit more of Dark Souls to it. And I did not know that going into the game when I made
it. Yeah, Same here. Again, I was like you. I was coming off, actually more recently, coming off the Link's Awakening remaster high. You know, that was the first game I bought with my Switch, and just I think I beat that in a little over a week. I love that game. So yeah, and then we've seen this for 2 or 3 years now at various, you know, Xbox or Gamescoms or whatever the events, you know, VGAs, you know, where they've shown trailers of this, and we've always been excited. But yeah, never once, probably our own fault, never really looked into it to see there was a little sprinkle. Or a decent size sprinkle of like a Souls game, and
yeah, there's a pretty fat sprinkle on this one of Souls mechanics, I should say.
Yep.
I guess what I mean by that is like there are a few like design decisions for this game that directly borrow from Souls like games like Elden Ring, Dark Souls, mm-hmm. you know, that sort of genre, and I think most of what they added in to this game that is from Souls-like games, I don't know, man. Like, I haven't, you know, I'm not really big on Souls-like games. Like, I've played a bit of Elden Ring, and I kind of know the gist of what that's all about, right? Like, the whole idea is that it's about, you know, a lot of the encounters are difficult.
Yeah.
However, a lot of what I like about things like Elden Ring are that, you know, you can essentially progress past where the boss's difficulty is. So like you can go and get better stats, better gear, all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in this game, you can kind of do that, but you're a bit limited.
Yeah.
I guess let's unpack that a little bit. Is that like,
yeah.
You don't really have like levels or anything in this game. It's very much, it opens up very much like a Zelda game where you go and you find the sword and you're running around a fairly not really open world, but like it's a nicely crafted map of different points of interest on the map where you have to go and find like little treasure chests and things like that and find key items throughout like little mini dungeons and things of that nature.
Yep.
But what kind of gave me a little bit of shock is when you start getting into the first set of boss battles, because mm-hmm. you have from up to the point of the first boss battle, you really have no idea what you're in for until you hit that first boss.
Yeah.
Like the monsters and things like that are pretty easy throughout most of the gameplay all the way up until, like I said, that first boss battle is when it gets kind of like you get, it's shock, it's just like holy shit, like that I did not realize that he was going to like two shot me, you know what I mean?
Yeah No, that's my thing. It's I'm not big into Souls like games, so that's where it's really started frustrating me with this game was you get to that, like the garden boss was the first like major mm-hmm. boss, and I and again, that was when I was discording the one night and, you know, getting frustrated, I was fighting the garden boss and I was like, I the reason I'm not good at those games is I don't have the patience to do the whole like, you know, just wait, strike once and wait, you know, just basically spend a ton of time dodging and hitting and until you beat the boss. I don't have the patience for that. I know that's just me. That's why I don't play Souls games. And mm-hmm. I just kept dying and dying. And then the thing that frustrated me the most is when you die in this game, you know, you drop your, whatever, we'll say soul. I don't know what
they're
called.
Like gems or something, I think is what they're called.
And now you can go back and get it, but yeah, it's what really frustrated me was I'm a hoarder in a lot of games, right? I won't use those, like you get like grenades and different things like that. You get your little health potion or not potions, whatever, fruit or whatever. Like, so like I'll hoard all that as I'm going through the world, just fighting little bosses. Who cares? Whatever. I die. I go back to the little spawn point. I go get, you know, I didn't waste any of my stuff, right? I'll save that for the big battles. Well, this game does this thing where I was like, oh, I think at the time I had like 6 or 8. I think at that point it was only dynamite or whatever, like firecrackers, or I don't know. There wasn't a lot of descriptions in this game, as I'm sure we'll dig into. And I just unloaded on them. I'm like, yeah. And I go up and smacking them and, you know, get two shots. Like, okay, I got to adjust how I'm doing this. Well, I respawn and all of my inventory's gone because I used it. I'm like, there's no, I'm not going to go back through this world, kill a bunch of small monsters and go to the shop and reload again. I was like, no one got time for that. I don't got time to do that.
Like that was the first, like that was one of the first things that I noticed was that like, at one point I died in the overworld and I noticed, oh my God, it sent me all the way back to the save point.
Mm-hmm.
And it reset everything.
Yeah.
And so I have to work. Right. Yeah. And even if you go back to like refresh your health and your healing potions and things like that. Yeah. It resets everything. So you have to basically fight your entire way back through, go through all the different encounters until you hit essentially the next rest area, the next checkpoint. And yeah. Honestly, like that for me is what I ended up getting. There are a couple of parts in the game that I got genuinely frustrated with the game because I felt like if there's one word that I could use to describe this game, frustrating.
Yeah.
Unbelievably frustrating.
Mm-hmm. Now, and I think some of that too comes from, and look, we can make, I'm totally fine with this. Like we can make fun of me and say I like easy games and all that. But like this game, I don't think every game needs some crazy hand-holding mechanics and explain everything to you, but there was almost nothing in this one. It all relied on you hopefully getting all the, which was kind of a cool mechanic, but also since it was all in a weird language and you didn't understand half of it, it was all about figuring out things yourself, right? There was things I didn't realize I could do because I just didn't quite understand the few little hints here and there. And then, it was weird. It was frustrating. And there was times like I didn't find out to the end. I don't know. Maybe you didn't notice this. Did you know you could throw those coins down a well and it gives you more slots for, I don't even know what they're called. The ability cards.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did find that out. And I was like, before I finally figured it out and I was like, oh, that'd be helpful. And then again, you pick up these cards and it's like, I don't even know what these are for. I didn't, you know, again, maybe dumb Matt, you know, didn't put two and two together to realize you can put this slot in or gain more of the slots for the cards by dropping the coins in the well. But it was like, there wasn't even like little hints. Like that was the entire game was like for me finding like, what's the next objective? If I didn't, maybe I didn't stumble across the page that gave you the little hint that, oh, you should go here next. It was like, well, right. I haven't been to this area. I guess I'll walk over here and maybe that's where I need to go next. I don't know.
Yeah. Like you had to collect a bunch of external things in order to actually get information that's actually really critical to you succeeding in the game, which is, again, it's another one of those design decisions that is just, I just don't know if I agree with that. I felt like that was... Like, the game was almost working against me to prevent me from having information rather than having, like, the sort of self-discovery of, like, oh, that's what that thing does.
Yeah.
It was like, no, we're just going to dump some shit on a page for you. It's going to be in a language that nobody's going to be able to understand. But apparently Reddit figured out how to transcribe the whole thing. So that's how you can figure out what it is. But
there'll be this random one word in there that's in English. So like that's like your little hint of what this thing is. And some of it is obvious, right? I think there was like the items page and it, you know, like, oh, this gives you health or this gives you this or whatever, right? Okay, mm-hmm. Whatever. That's simple. But I think, what could have kind of helped remedy that issue and design decision, in my opinion, was, I don't know, maybe there was a collectible around the map that allowed you to kind of slowly decipher that text so that you understood it a little better. Like, I don't know what a collectible, right. you know, some collectible, something there that you learn the language. Because that was the other thing is like through this, you talk and you see things and there's all this random language. I have no clue what the story was about. Now, like some games, it's totally fine, right? You know, that's, but like here, it's like, why am I doing all of this? That was some of the other frustration. It's like, I don't give a, like, what is my purpose? I'm just wandering through here killing things. And I don't know, there's this weird fox lady I saw in a gem in a building. And I don't know what the fuck's going on.
And now all of a sudden she's trying to kill me.
Yeah, then she kills you. It's like, what? I don't know. So like, I think a solution to that could have been some way that you're again, I thought the kind of, in a way, I thought finding the manual was a kind of a neat idea. It was kind of an old school, like, you know, old school
like
video
an old
game
where Nintendo manual.
Yeah. Like I was like, hey, that's kind of a cool idea, but it means nothing to me because I don't know how to decipher it. So it would have been cool if they had like, I don't know, some collectible around the map. I don't know, like a,
right.
You know, Rosetta type stone thing that you'd find every now and then. And when you go up to it, it's like, oh, well they did that. I think they did that in
like a Rise Fox language Duolingo.
Yeah. I think they did it in a Rise of the Tomb Raider. There was certain language, you found these stones that helped you decipher, you know, a certain language a little easier or whatever. And then you could right. find clues to treasures. And I was like, something like that yeah. could have been cool, where it was like, oh, you know, you're slowly piecing it together. And then, you know, again, that would, I think, be a little bit more helpful.
Right. And I think like the game just needed these kinds of tweaks to make the overall experience of playing the game just that much more enjoyable. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah,
like I can get from a, like maybe from like an artistic, you know, an artistic angle that, you know, this is kind of like that nice hidden mystery, like it's supposed to be kind of shrouded in secrecy kind of a yep. thing. At the same time, I felt like that really had a negative impact to the gameplay overall, especially mm-hmm. because it was inconsistent that you had some English words in there and yeah. like all of the descriptions of the enemies were all in English. So why couldn't yeah. like the rest of the manual just be in English and just describe to me, you know, and or even just finding the pages of the missing manual? Like if it was all in English, that'd actually be kind of cool, because that's how you find things like the maps for the different areas so that you can figure out where things are, or where things mm-hmm. need to go, which I actually kind of liked. I thought that was cool. It got kind of annoying trying to page through all of the different pieces. Yeah, like when you started getting a lot of pages of the manual, going back and forth and be like, okay, what the hell page was that map on? Okay, just yep. flip. Nope, it's not over there. Flip. Okay, I really wish I just had a map button.
Yeah.
Or just a button that took me directly to the map page.
Yep. Well, that was the thing, is there was also, again, not a bad thing, but there was like 5, 6, 8 pages of maps, right? It was like, oh, were you in the overworld? Were you in the, what was it, the West Garden? Were you in the,
oh, yeah, the swamp?
The swamp yeah. or the frog's lair or whatever. Like, yeah. But yeah, that was definitely a legitimate, you know, design decision that I didn't think was great either. Was as cool as it was, especially at the end, whenever you had to go find the hero statues, it's like, well, okay, I got to remember where the hero's statues were. And okay, I'm in the portal world because, well, again, good or bad, whatever, we can argue all day whether it was, you know, not hand holding, but like, I had no clue there was a portal till like, I forget where I got frustrated at something. I think it was something with the garden boss, and I saw something about a portal, and I was like, what portals? Like, that would be helpful to jump between the areas. I was like, oh, well, you can do this kneeling thing and jump. Yeah. But anyway, so the portal world had its own map, and it's like, jump in there. I was like, okay, now where do I go? Just flipping through the manual was just not the greatest experience. So as cool yeah. as the idea was, there needed to be a easier way of, I guess, getting to the information you needed and quickly.
And overall, that's generally the feeling I had about this game. Like, there's a lot of really good ideas here, and there's a lot of things I really like, but the things that I really didn't like really just tanked the experience for me mm-hmm. playing the game.
Yeah.
You know, it was things like having to run between those checkpoints and just feeling like I have to run the gauntlet to try and get all the way back. And then like, you know, I get hit by something because, you know, I didn't time my roll perfectly. And then mm-hmm. all of a sudden I get tagged by like a whole bunch of different, like there's one encounter in particular that like I really just wanted to put my fist through my desk on. And that was in the, what was it? Like, I don't remember what the place was called. Not the monastery, but like like that sort of sci-fi where you see that like all of the different spirits are being used to make these sort of battery things.
Yeah.
What was that? I don't remember what that was called. Cathedral. It was something else.
Was that the hidden vault? Right. Yeah. Because the ziggurat. Right. You're talking out there in the quarry.
The ziggurat. Right? Like that quarry area. So not in the quarry, but yeah, maybe it was like the ziggurat or something like that, or beneath that. So anyway, getting through that, there are these monsters that crawl out of like the purple goop.
Yeah.
And when they hit you, they reduce your maximum health. Okay, fine. Like, that sucks, but whatever. Like, I can take a few hits. I got really high defense. I'm doing pretty good. The problem ends up being is when the game just decides, okay, you know what it's time for? Now it's time to throw 3 of these things at you. And that's not enough. We need to throw 3 of these things at you. And when you kill them, they split into 2 littler things. And then when you kill those, they split into 2 even littler things. So if you swing your sword and you happen to kill more than one of these things at a time, you've got all these little shits running around just draining your maximum health pool. Mm-hmm. On top of that, to make matters even worse, is that you have, every time they hit you, you're like, they have like some weird shader that gets thrown onto your screen to show, yeah, you're getting affected by the miasma. And it's like, oh, well, now I can't see anything. Like, I just, yeah. It just flashes in your screen, and now you can't see all of the little spiders that are just going nuts on you. And I'm like, okay, I can't see anything. I'm just swinging my sword around at this point, just trying to dodge as much as I can, because I got, like, 10 little monsters trying to just go up my asshole.
Yeah.
On top of that, we're going to have turrets that shoot at you while you're doing it, too. Like, there was so many points. Like, there are a couple of points like that in the game where I was just like, fuck this game is basically what I just said. I'm like, this is absolutely awful to play. Yeah. Not only because like, not because it's like challenging per se, because it just feels borderline unfair that there's just so much that this game is throwing at me at once, to the point where they're just, it feels like there's nothing I can do to combat this. I don't have enough resources to deal with this.
Yeah. I see, that's where I think I have problems with some games that have designs like this, where it's like you build up your, you do things to grow stronger and get better weapons and better items, and then they just neuter you for no reason. Like, I hated that purple goo stuff that reduced your maximum health. I was like, I hate this, this is awful, especially going through the quarry when I was, again, my own dumb fault, I didn't realize one of the cards you could equip, I don't know
if it helped. Mask.
I don't know if it helped with those monsters. I don't remember. I think I wore it, but I don't think it helped. But nope, like, yeah, it I was doesn't. Like, the quarry if you get was hip, yeah. So yeah, if you frustrating.
Get, yeah, yeah,
yeah. But no, it's like, yeah, it's just it was like, yeah, little scenarios like that. I kind of came to terms quickly with like, okay, they're just, it's going to be frustrating to work through the world, but the bosses were, those were always the ones that kind of bugged me. Cause again, it's like, okay, I earn these different things. There's a couple cool little items and stuff in the game, right? You get a sword, obviously you get a shield, kind of pretty simple there, but you get something like an ice knife, a wand. I never used this, but you got an hourglass to slow time. I had no, maybe I'm an idiot. I didn't know what that was useful for. You got a magic orb that let you grab either people or grab onto things to help move around the world, which I thought was really cool. But again, where I thought it was kind of dumb is like the magic orb that which you grab things is like, none of this stuff really does anything to the boss. So it goes back to, well, dodge, don't get hit. You got to time everything perfectly. Get a hit in, chip away a little bit. And I'm like, why? Like, what is it? The garden boss, I think you get the ice knife for that. And where I get frustrated with a lot of these games, which require a lot of the little perfect timings and dodges and whatnot, is so like there's, it feel like there's a, to me, a lot of times it doesn't feel like the controls are responsive. I go, bam, hit the ice knife, freeze this guy. And then I go in for a bunch of attacks. Well, he only stays frozen for like 2 seconds. I'm like, what was the purpose of me taking that extra 2 seconds to just kind of initiate the ice attack? And then I try to get one or two swings in. I was like, yeah, I guess it's one or two swings I didn't have where he's not going to do damage to me. But it's like, it just felt useless. So
there were cases where it was actually useless. Like I tried using the that ice knife on the last boss. Didn't even work. Wouldn't even freeze her.
I used, honestly, for the most part, I kept the magic orb once I got that and the wand equipped, just because the wand helped me at range with a few of the flying creatures or things or whatever was around. And the magic orb was occasionally useful for enemies, but mostly as a tool to get around the world. Gotcha. It was just, but yeah, everything else just kind of seemed, I never went back to things, which is again, kind of another complaint. Like I get the idea of not wanting to completely pause the game to go into your inventory, but I have all these items and weapons to use. I need to be able to quickly switch between them. But to me, I think it very slightly pauses or kind of slows down the world, but it was never enough for me able to quickly switch over to something. And then what became very apparent on the, I think boss wise, he was technically the second to last, the, when you were down under that ziggurat and that weird hidden vault or whatever, there was that boss there to get the, was that the blue key or the red key? I don't remember.
Yeah. It was the blue key.
Is
the scavenger boss.
Yeah. He was real late there. Yeah. And yeah. What really bugged me about that is, okay, at this point, I'm pretty high level. I got like 6 different health vials that they give you there for your quick heals, you know, and it's like, I didn't use a lot of those, the blueberries or the peppers or things that are supposed to help your stamina and your damage and health and stuff through fights, because I couldn't switch between them. I couldn't activate them fast enough. And then whenever I would activate them, like, I hated that boss because I'd hit my, you know, I'd run away from him. I'd run behind something, wait, have him attack, dodge it or shield it, and then heal myself. But it takes what feels like 5 minutes for him to drink the vial and have your health go up. Yep. Then I'm getting hit already. And it's like, why am I healing myself when I'm just losing it all in the action of me doing it? I was like, it's useless.
Yeah, so again, I had that problem. Yeah. I had that problem with a lot of bosses, and a couple of encounters too, where it was just like, I would try to dodge, try to get myself to a safe point, pop a health vial to just try and recover at least a little bit, and then by the time, because you it slows down your walking speed, and there's an animation to doing the health vial to the point where you can get hit during that animation, and it just cancels the health vial.
Yeah. And it was just, it's things like that were frustrating, that if I want to do an action and it either takes too long or you get interrupted or something like that.
Yeah.
It was just added to the frustration. And
right. And on top of that, I agree with you that the, I really wish, if anything, they would have given us a little something like allowing us to either, fully slow down time or just do a pause. Like, that's something that I wish that they would have taken if this truly is like a, you know, like a Zelda and Souls mashup. That's something that you do typically in a Zelda game, is that you would go open your inventory, flop, you know, a bunch of different items, you know, whether you're playing like the, you know, Zelda 64 and you assign all your C buttons or something like that, so that you can get a new set of equipment out, and then you're good to go, you unpause, and then you can resume the fight. But they don't do anything. As far as I could tell, there is no slowdown or nothing. You are basically playing the fight while you're trying to micromanage your inventory to try and pull the right weapons out. I've fumbled so many times where I would accidentally put weapons away rather than take the ones I wanted out, because I'm trying to reassign keys. So I'm guessing you didn't get it, but there's a gun in the game that you can get, which is pretty powerful against those bosses. That's seriously the only way I was able to beat the second to last boss and the last boss, was that using that stupid gun.
Since we're talking bosses for a minute, most of them were frustrating, but I found for about half of them that getting right up on them, and literally for one of the bosses, right up in their nuts and just hitting the crap out of them was the way I beat them. That's how frustrated I got. I was like, screw it. And I would just always get in their faces and just hit them. The only time I would maybe back away is, you know, when I'd want to try to heal up. But the siege engine. Man, I just got up in his nuts the whole time. I was like, I don't care what your attack is. There was a few I would try to shield. I forget which ones they were, but like, I was just like, I would constantly use the little grabber, the orb, and just grab right into his nuts and just beat on his little nut there till he died. I'm like, screw your little time. Screw trying to get the timed attacks. And I also use the magic orb for the library boss, the floating one.
Oh, God, fight was so awful.
I'm like, this is garbage. I have a shitty ranged wand that does no damage, and you keep spawning things and again, I got pissed. I was like, screw this. I pulled out the magic orb. I grabbed him, got all up in his shit, hit him a bunch. He tries to get away. I grab him again. I'm like, I'm going to just hit him in his shit, and I just rinse and repeat. I don't know what his different attacks were. I never got the timing down because I just kept grabbing him and beating the shit out of him.
Yeah, and it felt like, it just felt like bullshit too. So the thing that really pissed me off with that fight is that, like, it's just more shit like this. That was what made me frustrated with this game. Is it was not the fact that like the boss necessarily was hard, but there's just like little things like, okay, so I can't hit the boss because I have to pull him onto the platform. Otherwise, he's just going to stay out there and, you know, out there on floating around shooting things at me this entire time. So I have to do that. But the stupid thing is that if you do it enough to the point where you run out of magic items and you can't, there's nothing that can actually really restore your mana. So you have to use enough mana to pull him in. And if you don't kill him by the time you use all of it, well, then you're just done. Like, you can't really get him on there unless he does the little teleport thing where he shocks the ground in the middle of the map or whatever. But what really frustrated me was, like, he would do stuff like spawn ads on the platform. And while you're trying to, like, fight these ads, it's trying to keep the camera in focus of both you and the boss at the same time. So the camera is spinning around the platform, trying to keep you in focus with the boss while you're trying to fight four different mobs at the same time, while also trying to dodge whatever other attacks he just decides to throw on the platform. So he'll just throw, you know, he'll do a slash and then it'll be a big horizontal wave flies over. So if you happen to use all of your stamina trying to dodge all of the ads, well, get shit on, I guess, because you're going to take an ass load of damage. And it's like, it's like, dude, this game is so unfair. Like, this game is cheating is what it felt like. It felt like bullshit rather than feeling like, that's the thing that I like about the Souls games is that even when I die, it feels like it was a fair fight. Like, it didn't feel like it was bullshit that I died. I can point to a mistake that I made and caused a bunch of problems from there on out, but like it just felt like it was just piling so much on top of you that it was just impossible to actually handle all of the things happening at once, especially when you can't micromanage your inventory.
Again, I think some of that could have been solved by I don't remember, the D-pad wasn't used for anything, like being able to assign items to that, right? Because there is, I think it was wasn't the blueberries gave you some of your magic back? Like, that would have been cool. Yeah, that would have been cool to, you know, put that, the health, something like that, right? Some quick action, a quick action menu that you could just, But again, you couldn't, and that's the other thing that frustrated me with the bosses, because it's like, I didn't know what great, you know, I didn't want to sit there for hours learning the attacks, and you know, I can't even adjust my attacks midway through going, okay, I'm going to, you know, try this thing, or I want to switch this, or just the item inventory management was just, it just made things harder and more frustrating.
But, and I mean, it's got weird because the AI sometimes does this weird thing where they will chain attacks together, which even if you know the timing of them, they get oddly spaced out. So like, that was such a huge problem with the last boss too. Like in the last boss, the second phase, they'll like chain attacks together in a really awkward way where, okay, I feel like I'm safe to go in and then start doing damage to the boss, but then they'll just immediately do like a quick slash or something like that right after finishing one of their attacks. So I just take damage because I rolled into it.
I think the garden boss was where I noticed it too, where like, now that's early on in the game, so you don't have a lot of stamina, but still it happened multiple times after that too. It's like, you're also like, okay, let me learn the attacks. Let me dodge. Well, they do it sometimes. So many attacks back to back to back. It's like, well, I'm out of stamina. Now I'm going to get hit anyways, because, and then I can't, or I can't even block because obviously blocking takes stamina too. And it's like, that's frustrating, right? You know, maybe I could use my item that helps me with get stamina back. Oh, that's right. I can't pause, or I have to sacrifice having a weapon or an item on hand to equip the, you know, the stamina. I forget what that was, a leaf or something. I don't know. It was frustrating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had that issue a lot with the, I think it was the scavenger boss and the last boss. There was issues that I had where I would go to block an attack, but they would like, it was like a charge attack or something like that. And then they would fly into me and then I would block it, but then they would still hit me as they passed through me.
Yeah.
Like my block wouldn't actually block it. So I was like, I was getting really, really mad about that too, because that happened quite a bit where it was just like blocking became really inconsistent with several of the attacks, where like they would do a big sweeping wave thing. And if the wave was just like big enough that it could get around you, that it would still just damage you anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the, I think we talk a lot of little design issues here. I think one of the biggest issues that oddly enough caused me more problems than I wish it did, but did you play this on PC?
Yeah.
So maybe you didn't have this issue. On Xbox, I played on Xbox, the A button was the dodge, the sprint, the interact,
yep,
and the whatever, like hold it and pray thing or whatever.
Yep.
Whatever. And I don't know how many times that caused me problems. You know, I'm trying to run away, but I'm close enough to something where I can interact with, and bam, I'm interacting with it, and he, you know, getting hit. It's just a lot of little weird issues having so many actions tied to the same button. I'm like, this is terrible.
Yeah, I had that happen quite a few times where I would, like, you know, after you get the teleport, I'd be moving to go do the prey action. So I would, like, run up to the platform, but I would just hit space just a little bit too early. And then I would end up teleporting off the platform, and I would just be like, God damn it. I just want to go teleport.
Yeah.
And then there were times where that actually cost me, it caused me to die in some cases. So, like, I would have my Echo would be sitting on the arena of, like, a boss fight. And I would be trying to dodge, so I'd be, like, spamming the space bar trying to dodge. And then I would accidentally go over my Echo, and then instead of dodging, I would just clear my Echo, and then I would just take a hit.
Yeah.
And it would cause me to, like, die or something like that. And it's just, ugh.
Yeah, having so many actions tied to one button is not a good idea.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, like I said, it's those things that, like, the things that are kind of borrowed from Souls, I really wish they would have instead borrowed from... I wish this game was more Zelda than it was Souls. Yeah. Like, I'm fine with these boss fights being really mechanic heavy. In fact, I think that's one of, like, the best things about the game is that they do have some really cool boss fights. I just wish that it gave the player a little bit more arsenal to try and fight these things. Like I said, like, quality of life stuff, like slowing down time while you can access your menu, or... you know, maybe spacing out the attacks just a little bit more to make it a little more feasible, like, so that they can't just chain attacks to keep you away from the boss. Or things like, this really pissed me off too, is that when I found this out, is when you use things like consumables, like your bombs and your berries and things like that, and you don't kill the boss, sucks to suck. You got to go get more. Like, you'll revert to, like, your safe spot, but it doesn't actually refill your kit again. So you're going in, you know, essentially half-cocked for the next fight. And that made me feel really, really bad, is that, like, if I'm going to be dying all these, like, this amount of times, and I'm losing money, and I'm losing consumables, like, this just sucks. This just feels bad to play.
Yeah. It's just too punishing. And again,
punishing. It's unforgiving. But what this game is.
To your point, I can't really speak with the Souls, but it's, you know, what I, you know, hear, and I have a lot of friends that played. It's like, yeah, at least in Souls, there's a lot of options to do things to, you know, isn't that one of the big actually complaints about Elden Ring? They kind of made it too easy because it's so easy in the open world to level up past the monsters, right? You know, but that's an option. You don't have to do that. But for a loser like me who doesn't like Souls games, I would have rather had that option to do that. But there really wasn't that option here, you know, and it's just...
No, like, even... I think I maxed out my attack, and I was one shy of maxing out my defense, and I still felt like I did, like, no damage to bosses.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and it felt like it just took forever to kill things. Yeah. Especially when, like, they're kicking you away or dodging incessantly so that, like, you just... I'm sitting there literally in front of the boss swinging my sword like crazy, and they just constantly are dodging so I can't hit them. Like,
yeah. Well, here, we'll open this up for the community and you to make fun of me. So, as I mentioned earlier in the show, once I got towards the end and it's been a busy month for us, I didn't know if I had the time to sit and beat the last boss, and at that point I was at the fuck it, I'm want to be done with this game stage.
Did you crack Prima guide?
No, I pulled up, well, I did that for a few things with, like, the trying to figure out the one, it was like I got frustrated that at the end of the game it's like, go visit everywhere you went, I hope you remember where the hero statues are, and I'm like, fuck it, I found them all, I just, you know, I'm done. I pulled it up where the hero statues went to him. Escape done. But if you didn't notice, maybe this would have saved you some frustration. The last boss, it was late. I had a long weekend coming in, and I was like, I don't know if I'll be able to beat it for Tuesday night. And I said, fuck it. I went and turned on no fail mode. And let me tell you, that last boss I was sitting there getting frustrated at it with the fact that I was basically God mode, right? And I'm still running around like stop moving.
So there's a no fail mode?
There is. I forget how I think when I was picking the difficulties, which I think it's just is like normal, hard, and no fail. It's just basically you don't.
It's
die,
like a cheat, right? Code.
No, or it's literally like, in the menu. It's in the
what?
Options.
What?
So I went in and I was like, again, I was like, the last boss was like, I can't do this anymore. I was like, I can't do this. And cheating, I'm like, I'm a loser. I turned on God mode basically. And I'm sitting here like, bitch, stop moving. Like, I can't even, I'm chasing it around. Like, stop. And I'm sitting here the whole time I'm going like, I'm so glad I did this because I think I would have broke a controller, which I've never done before, because I'm sitting there going all these attacks and all the purple goo and all this, like I couldn't die, but my health was gone. Like it was like my max health was all the way down to whatever they cap you at, you know, in no fail mode. Wow. I'm going like, this would be like, I'm so glad I did this. I would not have wanted to put myself through this. I mean, more power to
you. Yeah.
I you know, props to you, Rich, for doing it without God mode on. But like,
dude, if I knew that there was a God mode, I would have used it at the end there. I was getting so mad towards the end, and I seriously, like, no joke, I was almost considering just throwing in the towel and coming into this book club this week and just being like, I didn't finish it because I didn't want to fight the last boss anymore. I was getting so sick of it. Yeah. Like, I probably dumped about, I don't know, 50-60 attempts at the boss before I killed it.
Jesus.
It was literally just slamming my head into a brick wall and just trying to see which one would break first.
Hey, shout out to you, Rich, for actually beating it the legit way. I mean, there, you get some props there. I had to turn on easy.
God, that's so insane. There's a no fail mode.
Yeah. But I was done. I was like, I can't do this. I didn't even give it one try. I just was like, you know what? Because I think the other thing I was frustrated at was when you, so how the story goes, once you unlock, what is it? Well, what we know of this, you unlock some sort of vault. Once you do that, you can go back into this little crystal room place, and then there's a sword and this crazy fox lady thing is there, and she just kills you, and you're in dead world. I don't know, whatever. And again, that kind of goes back to one of my complaints where a lot of these things, it felt like they've neutered your power, right? You're not as, won't spend all this time to do this. All your stats were low again. Now, granted, that's where, again, I got frustrated with the whole, well, I have to go, I found, I think, 5 of the 6 hero statues in the various places, and I found out how to go into them, you know, once I found out you could kneel and do the teleportation stuff, and I'm like, why couldn't I have just gotten the power-ups there? Now, again, however the story worked out, it kind of fit into it, but again, towards the end, I was like, why do I want to wander through all these areas I've already been just to these statues to get back my max, whatever health or mana or whatever. And it added to that frustration. Mm-hmm. And I think I got 5 out of the 6 because the core, that was the other thing. A lot of the paths to the different areas were blocked off for different reasons. And the quarry, the 2 main entrances that I remembered of the, I think the 3 of them, the teleportation up at the locked gate, and they were all covered by that weird purple goo stuff. And I'm like, well, how do I get over there? So anyways, I was like, okay, 5 out of 6 ain't bad. And I went and fought the boss and, you know, whatever. But I don't know. Little design decisions like that were just like, I was fed up. I was like, again, I was like, I found 5 or 6 of these statues. I don't remember exactly where 2 or 3 of them are. Again, popped up the Prima guide because I was like, I don't want to be wandering around. I'm sick and tired of just wandering around trying to figure stuff out. Yeah. And pulled that up. And I think that's, a little earlier was when I discovered the card thing. And because I needed that to get that through the quarry. I was like, how the fuck do I get to the quarry without losing all my health? And then it was like, oh, you get this little mask card. I was like, oh, that's what those card things are for. I'm an idiot. But yeah.
Yeah, I found out about the card thing pretty late as well. I wasn't using one for like the first half of the game.
It wasn't until the quarry that I found the mask and I was like, oh, that's what those are for. And then again, then flipping that back through the manual, I was like, oh, and the coins, I'll bet you. And then I ran over the well and dropped a bunch in. I was like,
and they give you more slots.
And they give you more slots. I was like, man, some little, you know, again, they give you the hint, but not a great one, I guess. But
right. Which I'm like, This is another one of those things that I'm really disappointed that they didn't borrow more. Like, for as much as they tried to make the game kind of look like a Zelda game, they didn't really take a lot of, like, the best parts about Zelda games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, unfortunately, you know, the dungeons themselves are fairly short, but one of the best things about a lot of the Zelda games is that there's a lot of, like, NPCs that you can talk to yeah. kind of get hints at not just, like, what the story is supposed to be, but, like, general things of, like, where to go and how to get something, like a key item or something like that. They're not, like, just blatantly going to tell you, hey, do this, but it'd be something like a hint, like, you know, dropping a coin in a well or something like that to, like, and they have, like, some sort of, like, explanation or something like that of what they're going to do with their new coins or something. Kind of as just, like, a way to hint to you, like, hey, mm-hmm. here's something that you might want to consider trying. And I really wish they leaned on that harder, because without having, you know, there are NPCs in the game, but they all speak the gibberish language that it's all useless to you. Like, it would be nice to help that for, like, maybe more of the world building or to help give hints or anything like that. But, you know, I feel like, yeah, they just leaned a little too hard on the Souls stuff when I really wish they leaned harder on the Zelda stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, that whole air, that whole section of the game pissed me off after you get killed by the by the air. And then you get all of your stats basically taken away, and then you go back into basically default mode, and then you have to go fight an entire dungeon as, you know, your basic self. And it's like, cool, I'm glad that I went and got all that shit so that I could just not use it for an entire dungeon.
Yeah.
Like, that's not fun. That's just, again, that's punishing for no reason at all.
Yeah.
Like, it's just punishing to the player, especially when you have to go and do the, that stupid gauntlet towards the end of the, that section, at the end of the cathedral or whatever, before, I think it's like just before you fight the boss or something like that. It's you get the mask.
It's kind of, the boss before you get the mask that lets you teleport. Yeah.
Yeah, and you have to go through that stupid
gauntlet. I kind of consider it a boss, but it's a gauntlet, really.
I was so, I was just like, why? Why are you having people go through all of this? Like, why? What makes you think that this is fun? You know, like, this isn't fun. Yeah. This is just a chore, and this is frustrating, where you have to, and what the sad thing was is, a lot of that gauntlet really wasn't that hard. What was really difficult was, when you have to spawn the fairies, and there's like 15 of them floating around, and they just gun your ass down before you can even do anything. If you pop a potion, good luck, buddy. Like, you're going to get your ass mowed down. So I'd have to start with that one every single time, because I knew that that was the one I was going to die on the most. And then again, you know, once I started using the, I had to save all my magic from that, or at least as much as I could from the fairies, so that I could use the gun on the... You basically fight two of the first boss.
Yeah.
So I used the gun on that thing because it almost, kills the boss outright, which was really nice. So I just used that on the boss. Yeah. God.
No, it's... Yeah. it's.
It felt it so was... bad when, like, no joke, one of the reasons I even beat the last boss... And just like how I beat a lot of the other bosses is I felt like I had to cheese the boss. And by that, I mean, like, I got it to a point, I got lucky, and I got it to a point where the boss was sitting in like a corner of the ring, and it was just sitting there constantly just trying to dodge, but I had it locked in a corner. So I could just sit and spam my attack button and just wail on it until it eventually just went down. I got lucky with that twice, basically, during that. And that's how I ended up winning. And it felt like it wasn't really like a win. It felt like it was just like, well, that felt really cheap. I didn't really have to dodge a whole lot of stuff. I just literally like whooped the boss's ass because the AI didn't want to move out of the way.
See, that's the only time in the game where I felt like, oh yeah, I feel good is like I was saying with the, when I got frustrated at the garden boss, the library boss, and oh God, who was the third one I said?
The scavenger.
The siege engine or whatever it was, boss. It's like engine. the like I, that's the one where I felt like accomplished because I was like, screw you, developer. I turned it around and I didn't play the way you wanted me to. I played the way I wanted to and I won. I was like, screw you. Again, getting just right up in their faces. The library boss using the grab to pull them in. Again, I beat that boss and the siege boss pretty darn quick by just, okay, pull into its nuts in the siege, just bash away at it. Maybe run away, dodge, heal, and go back right back into his nuts. The library boss was like, that one was probably my favorite because I tried it a few times. Like, what do I do? Like, shoot with my wand, blah, blah, blah. And I got frustrated after five or six times. Like, screw it. Let's see how this magic orb does. And again, I beat him within a minute or two or whatever because I just pull him in and beat the fucking shit out of him. And then he tried to get away. It's like, it was like,
no, get back here.
It was like, what's his name? Roadhog from Overwatch. He's like, get over here and just beating it. I'm like, screw you, developer. I didn't have to worry about dodging. I didn't have to worry about the little waves or the little attacks. Nope. I just kept, I think I had maybe like one wave of enemies I had to do, which actually helped out because it gave me more magic to pull them in.
Yeah.
But it was just like, yeah.
But that's the part that sucks, like, right? Yeah. Is that like, it would have been nice to fight the fight. Rather than feel like I had to cheese the fight in order to win, because I had to do that for the scavenger, I did that for the last boss, and I did that for the librarian.
Yeah.
You know, like, no, they just happened to get backed up into one of the corners on the pedestal, and then it was just mm-hmm. like, oh, sweet, I got full reign on his body right now, like, just beating yeah. their ass. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, well, like, the game wasn't all bad, right?
I was just like, going to say, we've talked about but all the stuff.
All the stuff like. That just pissed us off. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's because, like, that was what made the game not fun for me.
Yeah.
And it just ruined the experience because overall, a lot of the overworld stuff that you do is really nice. Like, a lot of that stuff is pretty fun. Like, the exploration is great in that game.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, like, I liked walking around. Like, well, early on, the turrets pissed me off quite a bit. Because they were super overpowered and there wasn't enough delay to get into them quick enough. And anyways, but like, yeah, to your point, I mean, I was enjoying like kind of once you got a little bit more power or strength and defense to be able to do, you know, not feel like you were going to die anytime you ran into a mob. But like, yeah, I had fun wandering around. For the most part, I enjoyed kind of figuring out how to get around different areas. It, you know, was that kind of fun experience where you did on occasion go like, oh, I probably have to come back here because I probably don't have like, well, the big thing was the magic orb. I see these hooks. Mm-hmm. Like, what are the hooks for? How do I do this? You know, so some of the exploration, like I really enjoyed the art design. I thought that was pretty cool. And the isometric perspective was both nice and annoying at sometimes. I don't know if this happened to you. There were times where it's like, as you're exploring, trying to figure out how to get different areas, and then you didn't know because the camera's stuck in one position. Is I think the windmill, if I remember, was the one where I was like, oh, just kind of put my hands in my head in my hands. Was just like down behind it. There's a path you can't see it, but it leads you to an area that would have been like, oh, I wish I knew about that earlier in the game because I could have got to this area instead of going. You know, some of those were both fun and not fun at times, but it was, again, to kind of add a little bit to the exploration, I think it wouldn't have annoyed me as much if the game wasn't already frustrating me at other points. I think it's probably my biggest takeaway is I had trouble enjoying the good things of this game because as we talked for the last like 50 minutes, there's so much stuff that is frustrating. So it's hard for me to enjoy those bright spots, but
right. See, like, the thing, you know, going back to the exploration a little bit, that's actually one of the things I actually really, really appreciated was that they had like those little shortcuts in different areas that you just can't see because of the isometric camera angle. I remember there was one in particular where it was like, I think it was in the quarry somewhere where, you know, you walk by it like all the time while you're trying to go navigate your way up that mountain on the quarry. Mm-hmm. And then once you get to like the back area of the quarry, you can just take that little path and it just is a little L-shaped staircase and it leads you right to like the start of where the quarry is. And it's like, oh, like that's a shortcut right there. I didn't even know that was a short, like there was a shortcut right there. That's really, really cool. Like I thought that the stuff like that was like kind of blowing my mind where like,
yeah.
when I got the little teleporter thing, I was just kind of teleporting in an area, and I teleported and I ended up underneath a waterfall. And I was like, oh shit, did I just bug the game? Like, am I inside of like a no boundary zone? And then I ran through the whole thing, and there was like this long tunnel underneath like most of the overworld, where mm-hmm. you take the tunnel and you end up and you get like a chest, you get like a, I don't remember if it was like an effigy or something like that, but like you get an item for going all that way. And I'm like, wow, that was actually really cool. Like, I didn't even mean to find that, but like, you know, me just messing around, I found something that was kind of cool. Like, yeah, it was stuff like that that I really appreciated. Plus, the soundtrack was super comfy.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of places, the soundtrack was just chill. Spot on. It was chill and it was awesome. And I really wish they kept the tone of that with the rest of the game, that it was a bit more chill than having to get like super, super sweaty for the boss fights.
Yeah. No, the overworld stuff, the exploring, I did have fun with that. And again, it's just frustrating that all the other parts kind of just soured that for me. But no, mm-hmm. I love the soundtrack was, I was realizing this as I was playing through, is we do a pretty good job, I think, here at Campfire Gaming, picking games that have good art and good music. Because that's usually, I was sitting here, I was like, I feel like this is just, we're a broken record, but the last couple of games, you know, we've done a really good job of picking some very well done art and music games. And it's just like, here's another one. Cause yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. And it was a joy running through the variety of areas and the variety of monsters. Again, just a little bit of a sour note with all the other frustrations.
Right. Yeah. And so I think that, like, you know, if the developer just tweaked a few things to make it just a little bit easier on the player, you know, like try and eliminate some of those frustrating things, this game would be like a 9 out of 10 easy. Mm-hmm. Like, this game was really, really cool. I mean, like, again, like with the whole idea with the narrative of it being kind of hidden behind all of like the instruction booklet, and, you know, having to find the rest of the pages, and then, mm-hmm. you know, having no actual like dialogue with any NPCs to really build the world or anything like that. I mean, the most that I got for the storyline is that you are what is considered the hero. The hero must go and meet with the heir, and the heir is the hero that won. And then it's just it's supposed to be the vicious cycle of, you know, the hero awakens, the hero must journey to the heir, and the heir must fight the hero. And whoever wins gets to either keep their heirship, be locked away as the heir, or the hero has to take the place of the heir. And I was like, okay, that's kind of cool. I really wish I knew a little bit more. Like, I saw that they were, you know, powering these little battery things with like the souls of the heir, maybe. I don't honestly know if that was the heir or...
I thought it was kind of cool running through that area. But yeah, again, it's, as someone who typically really enjoys story in games, it was just, I kind of got, like you were saying, that kind of just, you're the hero, you beat the boss, you replace them, and then, I guess the
right
circle.
Yeah, like what would have been, like, honestly, what would have been really, really cool, and I'm guessing this is probably it, like I said, I do believe that there is ways to decipher what that text is, so you could figure it out. But I really wish it was more in the game to be accessible so that you could get more clued in on what the story is, because I think my guess is that a lot of the, when you're in the ghost world, a lot of the foxes that are around the ghost world are the hero that effectively just died. Like, you're every iteration of the hero that's died, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, like, that's actually really cool. Like, there's a bunch of failed heroes who are just kind of living in limbo here. And so what you're trying to do is, like, essentially retake the place of the heir for whatever reason. I don't know what the reason is, but that would be cool if that was explained more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, again, I think it's where, like, having something to, a little Rosetta Stone, something to kind of, you know, and then,
right.
You know, or some, like, again, add to that kind of puzzly and nature of the game, is just kind of, you're slowly figuring it out. Again, it doesn't have to be some crazy big epic story. But like, yeah, that kind of burned me out. I mentioned already, kind of burned me out with the game a little bit too, was why am I doing this? Other than it's for a book club, right?
Like, yes, why that am was I why playing I was it? Doing it.
Yeah. You know, it's frustrating the hell out of me. Why am I playing this? So,
yeah, if this game wasn't for a book club, I probably would have just stopped playing a while ago.
Yeah, again, like, which is sad because it's at the top of the episode. We both were excited for this game. We talked about it multiple times on the podcast, how it looks really cool. We just apparently didn't do our research to find out that it's a very Souls-like game. So
yes.
And I want to point out,
too, a bad thing. Like, it wouldn't have been a bad thing for it to be Souls-like. The problem is that I feel like they've overtuned how punishing mistakes and how they've overtuned the aggression of a lot of the monsters and the bosses are. That's how it felt, is that like everything just felt like it was really just trying to get right in your face. It was just going to just destroy you. And it made it really, really hard to kind of take the game at like a slower pace, to not be so sweaty with the game.
Which kind of leads into a point I wanted to kind of throw out there, was that, you know, we were talking about how that like they should have spent more time tuning it. I think the no fail mode is evident that they didn't want to take the time they wanted it this punishing, right? This wasn't like, oh no, new, you know, whatever single developer or first game. I don't know. Maybe he's had other games, but like, you know, like this was done intentionally. And I think probably through playtesting, somebody's like, this is really hard. And they're like, okay, well, for all you noobs, Matt, you know, here's a no fail mode.
No fail. Which, you know, I mean,
there wasn't even an easy, because I think if I remember, the options were like, there was a hard mode. There's just regular, what I don't know if it's called normal, but like whatever, just standard difficulty, and then no fail. So there wasn't like I've done that with some games. Actually, the original God of War was, I think, the first one I did it with. I was fighting, what was his name at the end? The final boss in that. Anyways, final boss in the original God of War, and the entire game, I beat that game 99.9% on whatever the hardest difficulty was. And I just couldn't, I think it was like 3-4 in the morning. And I was like, you know what? I want to go to bed. I've been at this for 2 hours. And I just bumped it down to normal and beat him, right? So there wasn't even like that option here where it was like, oh, this boss is kicking my ass, I'll just pop it down to easy. No, it's like, there's not even an option there. It's like, again, it was intentionally done to put a no fail mode in there, that, and to kind of tune it this way, I feel. Just my thoughts there.
Yeah, which, I mean, is fine, but yeah, like, between a few of, like maybe some quality of life improvements to just not make it so unforgiving and make it not so punishing, I feel like would just go a long way. You know, like what we were talking about with the inventory thing, you know, just being able to, like, slow the game down just a touch so that you can, in fact, swap items in and out of your inventory. Even that would have made things so much nicer, so that I could, you know, take out bombs and then swap the gun in and then do all that when I needed to.
There were so many times where it's like, again, I like the range and I like the magic orb, so I had the wand and the magic orb equipped a lot. But it's like, it'd be really nice on the fly to just quick switch out, or again, get, you know, hot map something to like the D-pad, at least for console, is like some of the items. It's like, but I don't have that way to pause the game, whatever, to quick swap out to do this, you know, other attack. But or this, put on this potion or use this item or whatever. It was just
but I went into it expecting more Zelda and got way more than I bargained for.
But again, props to you. You beat it. I didn't have the balls to beat it.
It was luck, man. Like I said, that last boss fight, it was just pure luck and cheese. That's how I won.
Oh, man. But
and I totally, like, I'm not even going to make fun of you for it, because had I known there was a no fail mode, I would have totally done it for the last boss. I would have totally done it. Yeah. Even I cracked open the Prima guide a little bit so that I could find, like, I didn't remember where the dead hero statues were. I cracked the Prima guide open for that one. I was like, all right, where the hell are these things? I just want my gear back.
Yeah, I just want to be done with this.
Yep.
Nah. Cool. Well, I kind of think our listeners, if you've made it this far, kind of know our thoughts and how we're going to rate this. But I guess what's your final thoughts? What's your rating? I'm like, play, you don't play, or what?
Oh, man. This one's kind of a hard one to judge, because it's like, if you're really into like that sort of, you know, masochistic sort of gameplay where you're just going to get your ass whooped over and over and over, then you'll probably like it. If you're really into, you know, like Adventure Zelda games, this isn't like, it's sad to say, but I don't know if this is really the game for you. Like, it's going to be really, it's going to be a lot more punishing than you probably would want it to be. So at least for me, a rating I would really fit comfortably with would be like a 6 out of 10. Like I said, like, there's so much good for this going on for this game, but the problem was is that there are so many frustrating things, that there was many moments where I just wasn't having fun anymore, that it just wasn't fun for me to play this. And there were times where I just did want to throw in the towel and just be like, I just want to be done with this game. I want it to be over, which is never a good sign when, you know, you're playing a game that you want to like. I legitimately want to like this game a lot more, but with those things in the game, it's just the frustration just ruins it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I mean, I'm kind of the same there with you. I just, because I am probably an even less fan of Souls type games, I'd probably go a little lower, say like a 4 or 5. But yeah, this really is just, honestly, kind of bummed. It didn't work out for him this month. It would have been nice to get Mike's opinion on this, because he both likes Zelda and Souls games. So this could be, if you like kind of both of those, this could be the game for you, because, you know, you like putting yourself through that torture. But, you know, for me, it's even hard as a game that is on Game Pass. It's even hard for me to recommend it there, going like, well, if you have Game Pass, yeah, why not pick it up, you know, and try it. I don't think I could even do that again, unless you're
into it,
the Souls types torture, you know, or fun, I guess, depending on how you you look at it. But I personally wouldn't recommend this again, unless for the third time here, unless you're a Souls fan, you know, probably not the game for you. Like you said, if it was a little more Zelda-y, I think it would be a little better and it would get higher marks from me. But
same,
unfortunately. Yeah. Not the case.
Yep. There were a lot of things that this game had going well, like really, really good for it. And I liked, you know, the overall length of the game. Like, if, you know, minus all of the restarts of, you know, spending hours sitting on the same boss, I feel like there was a lot that I really liked about this game, but it just got offset by a lot of frustrating moments. And it's not even like necessarily like, I don't know, like the game's design. It was just like, I guess it was just a bit of overtuning, and the game punishes the player too hard, I think.
Yep.
There we go.
There you go. Tunic for you. Any last parting words for the game?
For this one? No, man, but I am excited for our next month's game, Psychonauts. Yep. We're going to be playing Psychonauts for the month of September. Psychonauts 2, that
two.
Is.
Yeah, 2. Yes. Sure.
To specify that, we'll be playing Psychonauts 2 for the month of December, also, I believe, on Game Pass. So correct. We'll be able to cash that one in with the not Game Pass sponsorship that we have. Come on, no, Microsoft. We've been shilling Game Pass for so long. Help us out here, man.
Yeah. No, be sure to check out, if you haven't played the first Psychonauts, it's a little rough due to its age, but we had fun with it last year. If you want to skip playing, just hop in and regardless if you're skipping playing or not, go listen to our book club episode from, again, I think it was last August was when we did it. So you know, so what, probably book club game like 8 or 9 or 10 or so, I don't know, something like that.
Yeah,
but it's a lot of fun. Yeah, definitely pick up Psychonauts 2, or if you have you know, Game Pass, just download it. We're excited to play with. I wanted to pick this a while ago, but we wanted to give a little bit, you know, again, we played the first one last year, so we didn't want to do like back to back. So I think it's about time we got to it. And I'm looking forward to it.
I think we did Bastion. So it must have been August.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. Because we had talked about doing Psychonauts back to back, because I think Psychonauts 2 came out, it was either late August or early September last year. We're like, let's do Psychonauts 1 and then 2. But
I think it came out in the middle of the month or something like that, so we weren't able to really like do it.
Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah. So I mean, but that's what we're going to be playing. We would love to get viewer suggestions as well. So if you want to make a suggestion for the book club, then come onto our Discord. You know, link is on our website, campfiregamingpodcast.com. Follow the link to the Discord. Join us in the book club channel. Start throwing out suggestions. Give us your feedback on what you thought of either Psychonauts or Tunic or what have you. We would love to hear from you. It'd be great to get this community even bigger, which is what we want to see.
Yeah. Yep. Just when you're throwing out suggestions, I will say two things. We typically don't do anything that's super long, like, so don't throw out like some crazy open world RPG.
Right. We won't be doing The Witcher.
Yeah.
The Witcher 3 or something that takes like 60 hours to complete or anything like that. Something that has to be completable in a month.
Yep. And something you can find. We've had some great suggestions from some of the fans of the show, but like they're like, well, that's a PlayStation 1 game, and on eBay it's going for $150, so I don't think we're playing that.
Yeah, we're probably not gonna play that.
Preferably Game Pass, because as you know, we love Game Pass. But again, anything Steam, I guess anything Switch, anything.
Yep, Nintendo's on the table.
You don't have I think PlayStation's the only ones off the table, right? You don't have.
Right, I don't have a PlayStation.
So, but yeah, we'd love your suggestions. Otherwise, you're stuck with us picking games each month. So, and then you get games like Tunic, right?
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. I'm going to just punish you for not picking yep. our, for you listener, not picking the book club.
Yep. So, but I guess that about does it for us this week. Thanks again, dear listener. And we'll see you next time around the campfire.
Peace.